You've heard of journalists embedded with military troops. Well, writer and forager Langdon Cook was in embed with an entirely different kind of troop, the people who scour and fight for wild mushrooms. He's written about their quest for these valuable prizes in his new book, The Mushroom Hunters, On the Trail of an Underground America. I asked Langdon Cook to talk a little bit about those button mushrooms that most people eat.
Those mushrooms that you're seeing in the grocery store, generally speaking, we refer to them as supermarket buttons. Sometimes they get updated with new marketing names like Cremini and Portobello, which is just an oversized button. Same species. They're all Agaricus bisporus, which is a farmed mushroom.
Are they related to chanterelles and porcini and matsutake?
Well, they're all related, and they're all members of the kingdom of fungi. But chanterelles and matsutake and porcini, those are mushrooms that you can only find in the wild. We have not figured out a way to farm them, at least successfully. There's certainly been experiments, and morel. The morels are one species that there have been lots of experiments with to try and figure out how we can produce those ourselves on a more regulated sort of basis, so that, you know, we're not dealing with the fluctuations of weather and timing and habitat and all of that, and we can just have them whenever we want them. There have been some limited successes there, but from what I've heard, the farmed morels, when they are able to produce them, don't have any flavor. So something happens in the wild that we can't duplicate.
In reading this book, the sense that you get is of the Wild West. You focus on the Northwest where you live, but I get the sense that it's like Gold Rush days, that there are people out there guarding jealously their turf, sometimes violently guarding their turf. And all I can compare it to are sort of Wyatt Earp days. How far off am I?
Sure. I do refer to it as sort of the last gasp of the Wild West, and I refer to frontier-style capitalism and all of that. Now, that said, and what you're saying, there is truth there, but it's also been mythologized, especially in the media. We hear about these running gun battles in the woods and very territorial pickers who are packing heat and guarding their patches. And there's a little bit of that. But for the most part, I found the commercial pickers to be incredibly generous with their knowledge. They took me in and showed me around. Now, there were some who under no circumstances would reveal anything. And I talk about that in the book. There was one buyer. I got a hold of his cell phone and I gave him a call. I just wanted to hang out at the buy station, kind of watch things happen, not get in the way. His first reaction was, how did you get my number?
You ended up focusing this story. There are a lot of people in there, but there are two main characters besides yourself. One is a buyer and a dealer, I guess, Jeremy Faber, who's based in Seattle. And the other is a picker named Douglas Carnell, who is a salty dog, I guess. That's the best way to describe him. How did you focus on these two men?
I knew that I wanted to have both sides of the equation. So I wanted to have a picker and I wanted to have a buyer. I had gone out with Jeremy a couple of times in the early years of my research. I'd done some magazine articles on him, and I think he slowly warmed up to me. And we were able to spend quite a bit of time together in the woods. And then I was also introduced to Doug by an anonymous forager who decided he didn't want to be named in the book. And as soon as I met Doug, I just realized he was the guy. He was the picker that I was looking for. Doug, I think he recognized that there was something interesting about his line of work and wanted to share that with someone.
Doug is, he had been a fisherman. His boat had been repossessed, I think.
He was a crabber. That's right. He captained a crab boat, and the bank took the boat.
And he lives, I believe, still kind of off the grid.
Yeah, most recently, I know that he's somewhere near Chehalis building a little cabin for himself on some property. So he's mostly in Washington, but I refer to him as a circuit picker in the book. And the circuit pickers are pickers who travel what's known as the Mushroom Trail. And you can do this 12 months out of the year in the greater Northwest. So from Northern California all the way up to Southeast Alaska, and then ranging east to the Yukon and down through Idaho and Western Montana, you can pick mushrooms 12 months out of the year in that region.
We're talking with Langdon Cook. His book is called The Mushroom Hunters. And this is a story of the hunters, the hunters, gatherers, buyers, and distributors, but it's also sort of a dip into the world of culinary delights, because you come at this as an eater as much as anything else. And so you spend half the time, at least half the time, making my mouth water as a reader, where you talk about the ways that you might cook these things. And matsutakes don't do well with cream, but I like to put the chanterelles in a cream and sherry base, et cetera, et cetera. It's not a recipe book. It's not a food memoir, but there is a touch of that.
That's right. There is a lot of sort of culinary sort of inside baseball in the book. And, you know, I come at it as someone who loves to spend time in the woods, but also in the kitchen. And I've learned how to cook through foraging. So it's been a sort of parallel process for me, learning more species to find in the wild and then how to cook them. The thing about mushrooms is they really lend themselves to all sorts of creative, you know, fun in the kitchen. They're loaded with what the Japanese refer to as umami, the concept of the fifth flavor. And it's hard to describe, but umami is this sort of comfort-inducing savoriness that spreads across the palate. Chicken soup, for example, is loaded with umami, so hence that's what, when you're a kid and you're home from school sick, you know, that's what mom gives you, chicken soup. It makes you feel better. Mushrooms the same way. They're really fun to cook with. They have all kinds of different colors and textures, and they each have their own flavor profiles. So, and especially for, say, vegetarians and vegans mm-hmm. out there, mushrooms are a wonderful substitute for meat.
You definitely made me want to go taste some of these ones that I have had less experience with, like lobster mushrooms or hedgehog mushrooms or cauliflower mushrooms. There's a whole bunch that I think probably I'm not going to find in many places. Maybe farmers markets like Jeremy Faber sells.
That's right. Jeremy, you can find all those mushrooms at his stall at the farmers market and certainly in our restaurants, because they are increasingly using these wild foods.
But as we see increased development, particularly here in the Northwest, we're going to see fewer of these wild foods available, aren't we?
Well, I would say the real problem for all these wild foods, especially mushrooms, would be the sort of development that involves, you know, cutting down the woods and then paving them over. So, in fact, a lot of the mushroom harvesting goes on in our industrial woods. So the timberlands that have already been logged 2, 3, 4 times. As long as we keep those lands in timber, there will still be mushrooms. But when we start building condos and developments and paving them over, that's when they disappear, along with the berries and the wild greens and the animals and everything else.
So Joni Mitchell's right. You can't pave over paradise.
That's right. She is right.
Langdon, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Langdon Cook's new book is The Mushroom Hunters on the Trail of an Underground America. He speaks at the official book launch tonight at 7 at Elliott Bay Books on Capitol Hill in Seattle, and he promises there'll be mushrooms.